Well, many thanks for being here. We deeply appreciate the attendance. The numbers here tonight are almost capacity, so we appreciate all who have come. We ask you, if you're saved, to please pray for us, that God will bless His Word as He has done already. We believe God has been working, and we look to God to work much further in the salvation of souls. Tonight, three passages. I have a very simple message. Matthew 24, first of all. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, and I'm reading at verse 10. Matthew 24 is the teaching of the Lord Jesus about coming events. Things that we have not seen yet, but they surely are coming. Verse 10 says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, or because iniquity shall break out, the love of many shall wax cold." Revelation chapter 21, to a verse we read on a previous night. Revelation 21 and verse 27. Verse 27 of Revelation 21, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." My final text is Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. If we have people who have been raised in Gospel Hall Sunday schools, this is one verse in the Bible whose location you will know. Because from the time we were children, we sang about Isaiah 44, 22 and 3. That's what we're going to read now. Verse 22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it." My subject tonight is made up of three points. First of all, sin breaking out. Then sin barred out of heaven. And finally, sins blotted out. So I doubt very much if I could find a more simple subject, and yet it is not very simple. Sin breaking out will be one of the leading characteristics of the day that is still in front of us, a day quickly coming. But coming events are casting their shadows very darkly over our world. And so we have around us today much evidence of sin breaking out. I must tell you that I did not expect to live to see a day like the one in which we live. And whereas many of you young people in your school, in your high school, or in your college, or even in your grade school, you do not get values taught to you. You are not told the distinct difference between right and wrong. When you come to a meeting like this where the Word of God is read, where we preach from the Bible, we assure you that we will tell you just as plainly as we can what is right and what is wrong. One of the great difficulties of our time is that there is a terrible blurring of right and wrong. There is an awful mixture, so that it is almost impossible for many people to say, this is right and this is wrong. Everything seems to be stirred up and mixed together. Is that unusual? Well, the Bible foretold it. This very day is foretold clearly in Scripture. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 5, Way back there in the scriptures, we are told of a day when men will call good evil and evil good, when they'll put darkness for light and light for darkness. And we have certainly come to that time. I suppose there is a characteristic of our day which the Bible foretold, which we must be aware of. We believe that these events of our day are foreshadowing a tremendous event, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who came once to die and fulfilled the scriptures when he came, the promises, hardly anyone believed them, as we said last night, but he fulfilled them. He came exactly as it was written, in the very time when it was said he would come. The greatest time prophecy in the Bible actually pinpoints the very week in which the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. He did come. He came exactly when and how and where the Bible said he would. And he has said, I will come again. And my friend, the Bible doesn't follow cunningly devised fables. We have something even more sure than the first promises. I'm not making this up. I am quoting to you from 2 Peter chapter 1. We have something more sure than the promise he would come the first time. What is it that makes it more sure? Well, all that was promised has been fulfilled. He has come exactly as it was written. And because he has come just as it was written, he would. That is a powerful evidence. He will come. Now something is happening right now that to me is one of the greatest harbingers of these coming days of judgment. These evil, dark days when iniquity will break out, when the dam will break, and the floods of evil will cover this world. And that is the fact that men have changed the standards. You see, in all ages, at all times, people have had a sense of what is right and what is wrong. In fact, there is something written right in our natures, right within us, that tells us what is right and wrong. And people in the darkest corners of our earth, we call them dark corners, maybe they're not as dark as we think, but people in places where the Bible has not come and where the gospel has not been preached, they still talk about what is right, what is fair, what is true, what is honest, what has integrity. And so that is something that's in the heart of man. It's in our very nature. God has put it there. We are told that in the Bible, by the way, in verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that God actually places within man a blueprint of what is right and what is wrong. But now here tragically is the character of our day. Nothing is right or wrong. There are no absolutes. Everything is relative. It depends, they say. It could have been right at one time, but maybe it's not right today. Or it could have been wrong at one time, but maybe it's not wrong now. That's exactly what our young people are growing up in. In fact, this is a day of nothingism. It isn't so much that the false religion is the great enemy of souls getting saved. It's absolutely nothing. And so, this world reminds me of a ship at sea. And it has no compass. And the helm is broken. The rudder is gone. And a storm is coming. What an awful situation to be in. That's a black picture, isn't it? Exactly what we have in our world. The storm is coming, my friend. I live in a part of the country where tornadoes are fairly frequent. And no summer ever passes that we do not have tornadoes in some part of the area around us. And when those storms build up, we see the clouds rising in the southwestern sky. Some of those cumulus clouds rise up 60,000, 70,000 feet into the sky. They are tremendous energy cells. And you will hear the distant rumble of the thunder and see the flashes and the clouds of the lightning. But where you are, it's just calm and still. There's no evidence of a storm yet. It's building. Storm is coming. It gives its warnings beforehand. And I must tell you that there have been occasions, and they have happened fairly frequently, when we have had to flee for shelter from the storm. Well, I want to tell you the storm is coming. The clouds are building. The warnings are falling on deaf ears in many cases. Well, I can tell you that our business here tonight is to tell you not only that you must flee from the coming storm, but we want to tell you to whom you can flee. We want to tell you the refuge. I love the words we often sing. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure though the billows roll, fastened firm and deep in the Savior's love. What a great thing it is to have assurance, to have rest, to have peace. Put your head on your pillow at night and be able to say, it is well with my soul. So in our world, we have this tremendous evidence of evil abounding, evil breaking out. Your papers here in Vancouver shocked me, and I live in the United States. On the front pages of your papers, it tells about same-sex marriages. I know there's a lot of resistance to it. Thank God there is. What we're seeing is a breakdown of home and family. Who are the victims? Children are the victims. Dr. Carl Menninger is the father of American psychiatry. Dr. Carl Menninger wrote 25 years ago that marriage was out, that it no longer had meaning in modern society. Oh, the man in the street didn't read Dr. Carl Menninger. The average person didn't know there was a Dr. Carl Menninger. But Dr. Carl Menninger is on the front pages of your newspapers today. What is taught in high circles of learning filters down to the people until we have a total breakdown of all that is decent and right. And our boys and girls are going to school where they get taught in their education supposedly how to function in society. But the teachers have handcuffs put on them. They have shackles put on them. They are not allowed to tell the children that something is right and something else is wrong. They're not to give value judgments. They're not to give moral judgments. That's a tragedy. They've taken the Bible out of the schools. They've taken prayer out of the schools in Canada and the United States. And I'm telling you this from experience, not from theory. They have put in its place spiritism, the occult, transcendental meditation. And I have sat down with groups of teachers in the city of Toronto just last year and heard them as they gave me an account of what was happening in their school system. They couldn't put a little babe in a little manger because it was a religious symbol of some kind. They had to throw it out. The teachers all sat in a class of self-awareness where they made their minds blank and sat in the lotus position as they meditated.
Is that religion?
That is the oldest religion known to man. That is the religion that came out of Babylon at the very beginning. And there's a revival of it today. Staggering to me, our vice president in the United States, newly elected to office, believes what I'm telling you now to be the gospel. that this is what man needs today. He needs to get in touch with his inner self. There's nothing more dangerous. It's evil. It's iniquity breaking out. It's bursting everywhere around us. I was asked to speak at a graduation in our state last June, at graduation time. And the head of the college said to me, you understand, of course, that you can only speak about a generic God. And I said, sir, I don't know any generic God. All I know is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if you want me to speak, that's who I'll speak about. They let me speak. And after I had spoken, the faculty came to me and said, we were greatly encouraged by all that you've said. I don't know exactly what was behind all that, but a generic God, for any sake. You'd think there never had been a Bible, never an incarnation, never a cross, never a resurrected living Christ. You see, this message that we're preaching is not something that belongs to us. It's not a new religion that is ours. This is the old, old story. This is the gospel for which the martyrs laid down their lives. They went to the lions and they went to the burning stake because they loved this blessed Savior we are still preaching. We don't have a new religion. We don't have a new prophet who has come along with something that's totally different for our time. This is the old, old gospel, and it exactly suits the needs of sinners today. It's just what you need, friend. It's the message from God for you. So iniquity breaks out. And it is easy for me to speak about the evils of abortion, and it is a terrible, murderous evil. The evils of homosexuality, and that is absolute evil. The awful epidemic of AIDS. And your people tell you, we're not doing enough about AIDS. Could I tell you, dear people, something which you probably know already? There never has been an epidemic in the history of mankind that had so many dollars poured into it as the AIDS epidemic. Did you know that? What about heart disease? What about cancer? Would I shock you if I tell you that there were more dollars spent on AIDS research last year in the United States than were spent on heart research and cancer research combined? Believe that. But oh, there are poor victims of this disease. There are tragic. Oh, I know all about it. I just stood beside a man who died with it 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today. I know the tragedy of it. But you know what the Lord Jesus could do? Listen, very carefully, if you will. Some of you dear young people, I'd like to put this into your soul. Here's what the Lord Jesus did. He had the deepest compassion on the sinner. But he totally condemned the sin. Do you know the difference? You see, we blur this whole thing and mix it up. When we speak out strongly against sin, people say, well, you're very hard on people. No, not at all. You see, we could have the deepest love for people, the deepest love for their souls, the deepest compassion for their need. When people come to a disastrous end like that, it breaks your heart. It's tragic beyond words. But you know, that doesn't make us speak less of the evil or less of the sin that brought them to such a tragedy. Very different thing to have compassion on sinners at the same time to understand the evil of the sin. The Lord Jesus could make that difference. He condemned the woman's sin. Tender love he forgave the sinner. If you come to God and you come to his word, you will discover that love, that tender compassion. Whatever your sin might be, whatever your background, whatever your past, whatever trouble you have, whatever tragedy you have known, come to this blessed Savior. He said, come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the day is closing, and the shadows of the night are lengthening, and the Savior stands with outstretched hands that bear the print of the nails of Calvary, and he says tenderly, come unto me. I hope there'll be some soul who will come to him tonight before this meeting closes. And maybe there will be a number. Sin will bar out of heaven. Sin cannot get in. We preached that the other night. I was very impressed tonight at supper time, and I made no comment when this story was told. I'm sure I'm not transgressing tonight to tell the story. This is Yvonne Kopp at the supper table tonight. Told us the story that the lady told her who professed to be saved the night before last in this hall. Her name is Linda Van Adestein. And the very day that she was saved, that is the day before yesterday, her husband took their two boys downtown, got on the fast train to the downtown. But the father and the oldest boy got on, the door slammed shut, and the younger boy was left standing on the platform. In a strange city, thousands of miles from home, a little boy left on the platform all alone, and the train racing along, and the boy left behind. That's kind of tragic, isn't it? It turned out good. It turned out well. Thank the Lord. Some kind stranger took the boy and took him in for some hot chocolate while and told him he'd just have to wait and the mother or the father would come back again. And sure enough, I tell you, the father got back there just as quickly as he could, I'm sure. Do you see the illustration? Do you see? The door shuts. The boy's outside. What an awful thing if heaven's door should shut and you'd be outside. Because there'd be no father to come back and reach you and rescue you. If heaven's door shuts and you're outside, my friend, listen. They shall come and knock at the closed door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he will answer and say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You don't want to be outside when the door slams. My dear friend, the door is open tonight. What keeps you out of heaven? Your sins. What will keep you out of heaven forever? Your sins. Your own sin. See, I've been talking about the sins of the day, the sins of our time, the sins of this age. And you know that some of them are political issues. And so really everybody's talking about these issues today. Everywhere I go, people are talking about it. And you know, you can talk about that all in the third person and say, oh, that's our day, that's our time, that's the way the world is. But look, I'm not so much interested in that as you might think. I preach that tonight because it indicates that that sin is breaking out. And I'm not so much interested about the sins of the day. What God wants you to know is the sin that's in your heart and the sins of your life. And I want to say something to you tonight, which I hope you'll remember. It was impressed on my memory as a boy, and I've never forgotten it. Here's something to tuck away in the deepest recesses of your mind. Behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Out where? Outside of heaven. Sin is a barrier. But I want to tell you about sin blotted out. This is a grand text in the Bible. You know, sin cannot be blocked out by culture. No matter what kind of an education people received, it wouldn't change their sinful hearts. It wouldn't make them better. And sin cannot be baptized out by water. Some people think it can. They think they can go into the waters of baptism and wash their sins away. Baptism doesn't wash sins away. Some people think that sin can be burned out by purgatory, by fires. Sin can't be gotten rid of like that. doesn't work. But sin can be blotted out by the precious blood of the Savior. And God says, I, even I. And that touches my heart. Because what he's saying is, I'm the God you've sinned against. I'm the God who demands your sin be punished. The very God who says that sin must be punished, he has found a way to blot out your sins. Genesis 22 and verse 8 is one of the greatest verses of the Bible. Isaac said to his father, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And I have read the Jewish scholars, the Hebrew scholars on that verse, and this is what they say. And they don't even believe in Christ. This is what they say. Abraham said to Isaac, the lamb provided will be God himself. That's what the scholars say. That's what it means. The lamb provided will be God himself. Is the lamb God? Yes, the lamb is God. The very God you'd sinned against, and who said that your sin had to be punished, he himself became man. And that lamb is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And he became a man here, hated and despised and rejected, cast out by our world, and crucified on a cross. And he died a king crucified to save a poor sinner like you. And you can have your sins all blotted out. Every sin gone. I sang when I was just a lad, and I'd like to tell you the story, but the clock won't let me. God has blotted them out. I'm happy. Free. God has blotted them out. I'll turn to Isaiah and see. Chapter 44, 22 and 3. He's blotted them out. Now I can shout. Well, that means me. I'm glad tonight my sins are forgiven. My sins are blotted out. I have a home in heaven. I'm sure of it. Christ has died, and God with him is satisfied. And the blood of Jesus